Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, a lamb for every house. And my title this Easter Sunday morning is simply this: Love the Lamb. Love the Lamb. Amen. Could we pray? In the name of Jesus, I pray that you touch our hearts, our minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you touch us, Lord, that you would transform lives today. Lord, those that have not been washed in the waters of baptism, that they would commit to obey the scripture. Lord, that those that have not been filled with your spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, that they would reach out for it and receive it today in faith. Those that have walked away, Lord, I pray that they would repent, return home, and we will throw a party for them as they come back, just as heaven rejoices. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Put your Bibles down and put your hands together right now. Oh, praise God. You may be seated. It was always curious to me that God commanded Moses to tell the congregation of Israel to take a lamb, to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month. And the Bible shows us in other places the more detailed passage that we just read, or more details of the passage we just read. And not only were they supposed to pick a lamb, but they were supposed to pick a lamb that was without blemish. They were supposed to check it over, make sure that it was just right, that nothing was wrong with the lamb. And the Bible shows us that they were supposed to bring it into their house. And so they would set up a small pen. History tells us they would set up a small pen or a cage in their living quarters. And they would put the lamb there. And it was really for a couple of purposes. One, they wanted to make sure that this lamb that was without spot or blemish did not get hurt again. Because out in the field, out on the hillside, and there's predators out there, there's holes to fall in, there's rocks to bump the limbs on, and they would not be perfect anymore. And so for those 4 days, they would bring them into the house. And so they would pick out a lamb without blemish, and they would bring it into their house, and they would keep it for 4 days. And there they would feed it, and they would water it, and they would make sure it stayed safe. And if you have ever been around an animal very long, most people, not everybody are animal lovers, but if you're around animals, especially children, if they're around animals very long, it won't be long until they become attached to them. And over the course of my childhood, I remember, especially my brother, he was notorious for bringing strays home. And of course, my mom and dad, they would say, "We're not keeping that stray." And it wouldn't be long. It would stay around just long enough, and we would give it a name, you know. And then the next thing you know, Dad's laying on the couch with it on his chest, and he's loving that thing just as much as we are. No cats, though, thank God. Just dogs. If you're a cat person, God bless you. I'll pray for you. But anyway, You know, you want something that loves you back. Cats don't really love you back. They just kind of exist, you know. Amen. But anyway, it's kind of our nature, you know. If an animal's around, it won't be long till we're naming it, we're petting it. It's kind of inevitable that the family's going to fall in love with this lamb. It's 4 days and four nights. They're having to feed it and water it and care for it and become attached to this lamb. I noticed in Scripture, you know, you've seen the story where Jesus went into the temple and he was so angry, he took out a whip and he kicked over the tables of the money changers. And the Bible also said that they were those that sold sacrifices. And so the reason Jesus was so upset is because they had made the temple a place of commerce. And not only a place of commerce, but they had made the temple a place where they had taken the love out of the process. They had taken the sacrifice out of the sacrifice. So instead of bringing the lamb to the temple and having to take care of it at home for 4 days and bringing it on the way, no matter how long they had to walk, you know, sometimes they lived in other cities and they would come and they would journey and they would have to carry that lamb, or they would have to make sure nothing happened to the lamb on the way. Instead of that, people were coming to the temple and they would just bring their money and they would just buy their sacrifice. They didn't know that sacrifice's name. They hadn't raised it. They hadn't invested anything in it. There was no emotion involved. And so when that sacrifice went into the temple to be sacrificed and the blood to be shed, there was really no emotional attachment to it. We want to love the Lamb today. Jesus wants us to love him. Amen. We get attached to things, right? I remember growing up, my father, my grandfather, my papaw, my mom's daddy, he lived down in the country. And he was only about 5'4", but I thought he was a giant. I thought he was, you know, he wore a hat and boots, and he had cows and a pond and all the things, a boat and a tractor and all those things that the country people have. And it was like going to Disney World for me. I loved that place. And we would build forts and fires, and we would put out trot lines in the tank. And we didn't call it a pond. We called it a tank. It wasn't pretty enough to be a pond. I don't think it was like muddy. Sometimes we'd wade off in there and swim. And the mud would be about that deep on our ankles. But he had a bull, and this bull was huge. I mean, it was just a gigantic bull. But he was a gentle giant. His name was Puddin. Old Puddin. We love Puddin. Puddin was so big, and of course we were just little things at the time, you know. And so Puddin would lay out. He'd get down on his knees. He'd lay over against the fence. And we were little, and he was still taller than us when he was laying down. And so we'd get out there, and right here on his forehead, I don't know if you've ever touched a cow's forehead, but it's big and wide. And he had just big curls on his forehead. And he loved, he loved for us just to reach up and do that with our fingers. Sometimes he would get too rambunctious with it. He wasn't trying to hurt us, but he could throw us pretty far if he wanted to. And so we got connected to him. He was part of the family. We talk about him now, you know, 30, 40 years later. And so we love Puddin. But, you know, it kind of came the day when he had exceeded his benefit. And Papaw had to take him off in a trailer and brought him back in a cooler. It's a little odd eating pudding, you know. I always liked pudding until then. Pudding for dessert, but not pudding for dinner. But we loved him, and so it was hard to say goodbye. But I think God had a purpose in bringing the lamb into the house for 4 days. He wanted there in that sacrifice, in the Old Testament sacrifice, he wanted there to be some sort of emotional connection. He wanted that to be a part, an allegory, a metaphor for his relationship with us. He wanted us to love the lamb. Amen. And so let me just tell you today, don't fall out of love with the lamb, because sometimes people do. Sometimes people are in love with him one moment and they are not in love with him the next. We talked about it last week, Palm Sunday. You know, 1 minute they're waving palms and singing Hosanna, and the next 6-7 days later, they're saying, crucify him. And sometimes we do the same thing. We love him. We weep for him. We receive him. We go down in the waters of baptism sometimes. And then along the way, somehow we grow cold in our relationship with the lamb, and we don't really value him very much. And at some point we think, well, maybe he has exceeded his benefit, and it really is not a benefit to us to live for him anymore. But let me just tell you this morning, don't fall out of love with the lamb. Don't fall out of love with him. You got to love him. In fact, if you have fallen out of love with him, it's time to renew, to rekindle that love for him. And I want to remind you before we leave this house today that he loved you while you were yet a sinner, that he loved you when you didn't love him. He loves you today. He doesn't care how far you've gone. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what kind of lifestyle you're living. He wants you to know right now, and through my voice, I love you. I have died for you. I have surrendered myself to you. Don't grow cold in your spirit. Don't fall out of love with the lamb. We see a cautionary tale in Scripture. We see King David. David was a shepherd before he was a king. He practically lived his whole childhood caring for them. In fact, he was so integrated with the flock that when Samuel came to his father's house to anoint a king, he went down the line of all the sons, and David's daddy, Jesse, didn't even think, oh, somebody might ought to go get David. He could be the guy. No, he just left him out there. He left him out there. And finally, Samuel got to the end of the line and said, well, God said no to all these. Do you have any more? He said, I know the Lord sent me here to anoint somebody. He said, well, there is one. He's out there tending the sheep. David loved the sheep. He loved the lambs more than his own life. The Bible says that when one was taken by a bear, he ran after the bear. And he took a hold of the bear's beard, and he took the lamb out of his mouth, and he killed the bear. The same happened with the lion. Somewhere along the line, after the anointing, after Goliath, after the bear, after the lion, after all the things that he accomplished, after he killed his 10,000s, even though Saul killed his thousands, after all the songs that were said about him, and after the accolades that he received from all of the people of Israel, he raised himself up to be king. There was a time in his life, it seemed, that he was too removed from the field. Because you remember in the field, that's where he wrote the Psalms. That's where he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's where he said, because of your tender mercies, I am not consumed. That's where he said that God repented according to the multitude of his mercies. That's where he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He wrote those out in the field as the sheep were making their night sounds, as they would make those little sounds that they make as they lay there, as they walk around feeding and watering. And here they are. He had been removed from that so long. Now he was no longer in the field. No longer did he touch the lambs. No longer did he love them. Now he sat on his throne and he sat in his ivory tower and he looked down at the rest of the world. He had fallen out of love with the lamb. The Bible says another part of this cautionary tale in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and they besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. The shepherd and the soldier decided to retire. And it came to pass at evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And so he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Why? He had fallen out of love with the Lamb. He had fallen out of love with the people. He had fallen out of love with the battle. In the days that kings go to battle, he stayed home. And it's by no accident that when the prophet came, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." And David reacted to this little story that Nathan the prophet was giving him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." And so what he did was he recognized all of a sudden that this man, this rich man that took the poor man's sheep, that it was him. And this poor man in this story, this little lamb was more than a pet. It was brought up with his children. It ate of his own table. It drank from his own cup. It was like a daughter. It was not just another lamb. It was a unique lamb. This unknown man had something that David had lost. What did he have? He loved the lamb. He cared for it. He made sure that it had everything it needed. And I want to remind you today that it's easy. It's easy to separate yourself from the Lamb of God when you don't really love him. It's easy to crucify him when you don't really love him. You see, in the New Testament, when they cried, "Crucify him," they cried, "Crucify him," because they only loved what he could do for them. And when they recognized that he was not going to set up an earthly kingdom and he was not going to run out the Romans, they despised him and they rejected him and they did not love him for who he was. But all I want you to know today that you and I, we have got a fall in love with the Lamb all over again. Amen. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But I want you to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, whether you like it or not. But I'm here to tell you this morning on this Easter Sunday that he doesn't want to just be the Lamb of God. He wants to be your Lamb of God. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love the sacrifice that he made for you. you. The Bible says that we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. What does that mean? Because he died for us, because he surrendered himself, because he shed his own blood. Now it only makes sense for us to live for him. We got to love the Lamb. So Nathan appealed to David's history. There's something about that story that made the little shepherd boy rise up in David. And I'm sure his mind went back to a few of his little faithful sheep that would stay close to him and loved him. I would guess that probably one of those that he saved out of the mouth of the bear, he brought him back and he nursed him back to health. I can only imagine that little lamb that was saved by his shepherd didn't stray very far anymore. Stayed real close. And so here we are today. The enemy is wanting to separate you. He's wanting to isolate you. But hallelujah, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He is the Lamb of God, and he wants to be your Lamb. Amen. Jesus' sacrifice that he did and the resurrection that we celebrate today, it breaks our hearts when we really love the Lamb. When we really love the Lamb. Amen. Again, that's why Jesus was so frustrated with the money changers and the sacrifice sellers in the temple, because they had removed the love out of the sacrifice process. They had removed the care and the process out of this sacrifice. People could come and just buy any old lamb, and that meant nothing to them. That's like the rich man. He took a lamb that meant nothing to him, but you know what? It meant everything to the poor man. I want to be poor. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. I want you to know that God looks to those that are a poor and a contrite spirit. Pride will never get you into the presence of God, but humility will always get you there. And I want you to know that this poor man, he may not have had a lot, but he had something David didn't have. He had a love for a lamb that he cared for, that he loved, that he took care of, his children loved. And let me remind you, parents, that if you want your children to live for God, make sure you bring the lamb into your house. Make sure he's there when nobody else is watching. Make sure the lamb is there. Make sure your children see you caring for him. Oh, I love the lamb. I love the lamb. I love the lamb. Make sure your teenagers see you praying and worshiping the lamb. Because what you think is optional, your children will think is obsolete. And this poor man was richer than David. Oh, he didn't live in a castle. He didn't have a lot of sheep. But he had a lamb. And he loved it. Let me remind you today that Jesus Christ is our lamb. Amen. Matthew 27 and 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ, become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of a building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified and purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, by that means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, I want you to know today that at 53 years of age and having the Holy Ghost for over 42 years, I stand here in this platform and I proclaim to you that I love the Lamb. He is more precious to me than he was yesterday. He is more precious to me than he was last year. He is more precious to me than he was 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, because I was introduced to him at an early age. But thank God I did not just allow him to be some ancillary part of my relationship, but somewhere along the line, I fell in love with him. He loves me, so now I love him. He loved me first when I was a sinner, and so it's only right that I love him now. And so I proclaim to you today, I beg you today, fall in love with the Lamb. If you don't know him, get to know him. Take him into your house. Feed it. Water it. Care for it. Introduce it to your family. Love it. You got to love the Lamb. So, Pastor, how do you survive with bad news and trouble on every side and people who you've invested in walking away and many times blaming you for their own decisions? How do you make it? Well, I can't say it doesn't hurt, but somewhere along the line, I fell in love. And love endures. Love forgives. Love doesn't think of itself. Love doesn't puff itself up. The Bible says, and this is my favorite passage of Scripture. If you could put it up for me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians, I'm springing this on him, so be patient. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. Brother Jordan, if you'll come and play. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. How do I make it? Well, when I don't feel like I can, I just remember who I love. It's time to love the Lamb. Too many people treat church just as a pastime, you know. They show up when they want to and they give a little bit and cry a little bit and sing a little bit, but they never fall in love. The Bible says that in the last days there'll be people that come to him. And he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. That word knew there is an intimacy. I never knew you. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We healed people in your name. We did all of this. But he'll say again, depart from me, because I never knew you. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I know I'm supposed to be upbeat. I know we're supposed to be shouting around the front today. But some of you, I won't have you next week. You're only here out of obligation to a loved one today. So I figure since I got you, might as well talk to you like the Father. When he saw the prodigal over the hillside, he ran. The Bible said he ran. And as the son was trying to make excuses and say, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't be here. If you just let me be a servant, the father just brushed it all past. Fell on his neck, kissed him, called for the robe and the ring and the sandals, and the feast. So why I got you here? Could I just convince you to fall in love with the Lamb? The same passage of scripture in the New Living Translation says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for us, we also believe that we have all died out to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and raised from the dead. Amen. Could somebody, maybe you've grown cold today. Maybe you thought, well, I'll just offer any old lamb. I'll just offer a little sacrifice on Easter Sunday to make my parents happy, to make my friends happy, to make my pastor stop texting me. But could I just get you, before you do something drastic, could I remind you to love the Lamb? Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can live that way. Well, if you love him, you can. Because now, because he died for you, that you no longer live for yourself, but you live for him. It's your reasonable service. Can we stand? Oh, could we love the Lamb today? Could we take him into our house? Reintroduce him to the family? Could we proclaim, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to love the Lamb. I want you to know the waters of baptism are ready for you if you want to be baptized today. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive it today. If you just want to come back to God, I want you to know he's waiting. He's ready. He's ready. These altars are open. Could we just love the Lamb? Don't fall out of love with the Lamb. Fall out of love with them. Because the tragedy that follows will haunt the rest of your days. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, forgive us again, oh God, for the times that we have relegated you to the back burner of our lives. We've calculated the cost. Can we just pray? If somebody's next to you, reach over and pray with them right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Could you fall in love with the Lamb this morning? Hallelujah. He shed his blood for you. He loves you. He loves you.
You have been faithful. All my life, you have been so